This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast. A quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Shovel go at 7:15, but on the other side, right now I should say, all the questions have been surrounding what the Ravens are going to do with Justin Tucker. The NFL has him under investigation, and the Ravens, well, John Harbaugh responded to those questions.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Justin's been in the building the last couple of weeks, kicking and everything, and we've had a chance to talk a little bit, been working hard. I would just say, like, from a standpoint of the investigation and all that, I mean, we don't know anything. I mean, we haven't been given any information, and that, as it should be, you know, it's all done the way it's done. So we don't know anything along those lines, so we can't make any decisions based on that. Every decision we make has to be based on football. There's a lot of layers to that. You know, you've got a rookie kicker in here. You took him in the sixth round, early in the sixth round. He's a talented guy. Just from a football standpoint, salary cap, you know, all the different things that you just take into consideration. Whatever we decide to do over the next few weeks will be based on football.
We said this before, Ed, based on what Justin Tucker did last season, it's justified for them to bring in some competition. They drafted for the first time in franchise history. They drafted a kicker, didn't sign him, but free agent, or either out of college or free agency as a veteran. To me, that says a sense of urgency. We want to make sure we get our guy in here and not chance this thing. But he's saying what they're going to do is football related, and they're gonna let the league do what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was pretty artfully crafted. But what are you going to do? I mean, this is very similar to the Ray Rice situation where, you know, I think there were people who did far worse things, but because he had 2.9 yards a carry that season, it was easier to part ways. And now with Tucker, it's like you get all this, you know, stuff swirling around, this horrible, you know, negative publicity. But he was like one of the least accurate kickers in the league last year. So it's not like, I mean, he was, looked nothing like Justin Tucker. So I think, you know, it's, they may have this intention of, you know, part ways, they find somebody else, then say it's just football related. And then it kind of, you know, they can just kind of walk away from the other stuff.
I think, Jeremy, if the league doesn't find anything, and this kicker comes in and Justin Tucker's still better than him, Justin Tucker's still the guy. If the league doesn't find anything in him. But I think, you know, as Ed said, he just wasn't good, very, very good last year, and I think this guy will be here either way.
Okay, let me ask you this. If the league decides to suspend him for six games, does that matter? Does that change your mind? And how? Because now you're going forward with a kicker and loop because this guy is suspended. What if he's kicking well? What if he's not? You know, all these things that could play into it.
John Harbaugh can go back on what he said over the weekend. It's a football decision.
Yeah.
If this new kid is kicking good and the team is winning, then he's your kicker.
I mean, it's just weird the way the whole thing plays out. And I know Ed's brought it up before. We've talked about it, what happened with Ezekiel Elliott, where it's like, hey, we didn't find anything, but you're still suspended. Something has to come down because of this. And regardless if they find anything or not, I'm sure the league's going to use the whole shield thing to go after him and suspend him for a period of time, whether that's 2, 6, 10, a season. I don't know.
So you think Justin Tucker is going to get suspended regardless.
I think it's suspended regardless because it's no longer about innocent or guilty. It's about the shield, and they bring that up all the time. So if Ezekiel Elliott got in trouble for what he allegedly did and they sent a woman down there to investigate it and she came back and said, we didn't find anything, and they go, six games, then something has to happen here.
Yeah. Look, he had a field goal percentage of 73 last year.
Mm.
73. It's unheard of for him. I mean, Chris Boswell, 93. Jay Sanders, 90. I mean, this is what you get. Lutz was 91. 73.
Had a lot on his mind.
He did. We alluded to that. We couldn't say anything, but this is off-field stuff probably. We kept hinting at, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, what if that's his excuse? What if I'm a better kicker than that? I had a lot on my mind. You guys got to let me prove that.
If he doesn't get found guilty or if they don't find anything? Cause yeah. Like,
Can I throw a curveball at what you said?
Uh-huh.
You said, what if he's suspended for six games? This kid, what's his name, Luke?
Loop.
Loop comes in, and he's hot. But Justin Tucker was kicking also all training camp, and he looked great too. Do you keep with the rookie, or do you go back to the veteran who's had big kicks before?
I'm going with Snoop-a-loop. Sorry. I'm done with the Justin Tucker thing after all of this stuff went on. I may be different. There may be some fans that's tugging on their heartstrings. It's like, oh, he didn't get found guilty and this and that. I don't have it. I'm sorry.
I don't have that.
Like, it's
football, man.
Right now, and then Harbaugh's talking family. About the football side of things. Like, what is... Ed, we talked about this. What does zero tolerance actually mean? Like, is it...
To me, it's not what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. I mean,
to me, it's like, you know, if someone is convicted of, you know, whatever, you know, domestic violence or something like this, then that's it. That you have zero tolerance. But there's no findings yet. I know there's a million allegations. It's hard to believe that it didn't happen because so many different people from different places. But I just like... I like dealing in facts, and you got to have some proof. And someone, I hate to see, and in this case, he's fine. I mean, his rest of his life, the damage is done already publicly.
Yeah.
He's got enough money. But I just hate to see people lose everything when nothing's been proven. You know, it's like that. It's in the movie Siriana with George Clooney. He says, you know, in this country, you're innocent until you're accused. And that's what we've become. As soon as you're accused, it's like, oh, we're done.
Yeah, but
it encourages it.
We also have the situations like, and I know this is kind of far into the spectrum, but like O.J. Simpson wasn't found guilty. Do we all think he was guilty?
Yes.
So like, again,
I'm with you.
Still working on that case. I mean, no.
Yeah. Just because you weren't found guilty doesn't mean you were innocent.
Yeah, I had an argument.
What's the evidence?
I had an argument with somebody who was like, "Hey, he was never found guilty," and I was like, "He was never found innocent either." Like, they didn't have enough evidence because of. You know, look, you look at the statute of limitations and finding things out. And again, this incident to me is a little different for myself and when I'm talking about it, because I know some of the people involved and I believe them. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for me. But in the way Ed's talking is probably the right way to do it every single time, because you have to treat each situation a little bit differently. But you also have to look at it as the same. Like if this guy is not getting punished for something he allegedly did, then how do you punish this guy? If he didn't get it. The same thing I'm talking about, the Ezekiel Elliott. Like, they had smoke there. They had all these stories. I'm sure something went down. But the lady went down there and found out nothing. I didn't find anything, and they still suspended him. So I this is where I get into this.
It's worse than that. She found the witness to be not credible.
Fair enough, yeah.
So it sounds like she made it up, which is really awful. I mean, I find it hard to believe that 16 women made up the same story.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does happen. That's why I'm so... focused on this, because I just hate it. Because I've, you know, you've trained when you become, you get in law enforcement. You know, better 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail.
Did you guys see the Shannon Sharpe stuff? Now there's another rape accuser that's coming out after all this stuff comes out with this OnlyFans model that apparently he was with, and people are looking at the picture of the woman going, "Oh, he wasn't with her." Well, it was back in like 2000. Okay, so the woman was a good looking woman that I forget what her job was, but she's claiming that Shannon Sharpe raped her. So, like, and forced himself on her, sexually assaulted her. So, like, I don't know if it gives people the strength to come out, but we also know there's people that are going to attack situations to try to better themselves when things can't be proven.
Let's go to Dundalk and get Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you.
Bob, you're probably going to end up looking like ZZ Top beard with your little bet you do yourself.
I don't have a bet.
No, with your the Orioles got a sweep.
That's not a bet. It's just, you know, something I'm doing just to be doing. You know, nobody challenged me.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to look like ZZ Top here in a little bit. But look, if Justin Tucker, if something come up and he finds there's no evidence, even if he gets suspended, what if he does come back and start kicking at a 90%, 97%, 95%? The Ravens done shot themselves in the foot.
What, six-round draft pick? You don't shoot yourself in the foot for a six-round draft pick.
No, if they let Justin Tucker go now.
Oh, well, the only way they'll let Justin Tucker go, the Ravens are sitting pretty, Johnny. They got both of these cats in camp. And let them do what they got to do. So if the kid is kicking at 90%+ and Justin Tucker goes on and does the same thing for some other team, who cares? It's not about what he does somewhere else. It's about what you have. I don't want to say Justin Tucker gets suspended. We signed this kid. This kid is great. And then Justin Tucker goes someplace else and proves he's still great. Oh, man, we should have kept Justin Tucker. No, the kid is great. Well, you care. It's like when we get rid of somebody, we want them to be the worst because we got rid of them.
You know the other thing I don't want to happen? What if Loop ends up being – this team has picked kickers left and right. Not drafted, undrafted kickers that – there's like six guys in the league right now that the Ravens had brought in. They're the ones that we're looking at. Will Lutz, you brought him up. He was here. You know, Graham Gano, no longer in the league. Steve Hauschka, all these guys. They found all these guys, and there's still guys that they found that are kicking in the league right now. What if this Loop kid comes in and he's kicked? Like, I don't want to pass him up because you're chasing the ghost of Justin Tucker.
What if he's the next Justin Tucker? Yeah. If you kid a Justin Tucker successful somewhere else, I don't care. It's all about what I have. I don't care about the other team.
I normally wouldn't say this, but it does apply. It's irrelevant what he's done in the past. It's what he's doing right now.
It's not. That's 100%.
That's not irrelevant.
It's sports.
That's true.
It's sports. Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45, but up next is Shovels Ed.
Oh, man. Yeah. I got to give it to a sports team who doesn't understand the concept of whiteouts, et cetera.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
All right, we got Shovels. Ed, who's getting your shovel? Throw it out there, man. What do we got?
Well, I don't know if you guys watched the NHL playoff game last night. It was no better setting than Game 7.
Don't even get me started, man. Because
this was some Game 7.
Later on in the Daily Line, I'm going to tell you about the worst beat I've ever had gambling. and then it came back to not as bad last night, but I'm sure this is probably what you're talking about.
Well, last night was crazy.
I had the under last night. And it went over when they scored with 1.6 seconds left.
Yeah, I was texting Joe the whole game. Anyway, I don't know if you saw the highlights that last night. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets beat the St. Louis Blues and moved on to the next round of the playoffs. Okay. It was an exciting, crazy game. However, I'm looking, when I tuned in, I jumped in, you know, in the first period, but they were playing already. I noticed it's a whiteout. All the fans are in white hoodies. Looks great. And I see, team white and team in blue. Except Winnipeg was the home team. They were in navy blue last night. And the St. Louis Blues were in white. So you have like 17,000 people who all look like they're cheering for the opposition. Isn't the idea of like when you have one of these games, you wear what the team is wearing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do with Penn State and things like that.
That's what it's supposed to be, right?
That's what I thought. It looked to me, I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever. You're calling it a whiteout. Your team's in blue. The opposition's wearing white. It looks like a home game for the St. Louis Blues. I just thought it was really dopey. Like, nothing egregious, but, like, how stupid was that? Just went blue. Went red. We do it in Maryland all the time.
Jeremy Gunn. And stuff. Sorry. Jeremy, who gets you a shovel?
My shovel is going to Bally's Hotel and Casino. I went to Atlantic City. I was telling Rob earlier today, and I'll try to be as brief with this as I can. I had one of the worst weekends I've ever had in my life. I was going up to Atlantic City to watch my son play paintball. He was supposed to stay with me. And I booked this crappy-ass hotel because that's where he said everybody was staying. And then I call him back, say, hey, are you driving up with me? What's going on? Oh, I'm staying with somebody else at an Airbnb. So I canceled that crappy-ass hotel to book another crappy hotel, which I didn't realize. But I went through Expedia, Rob, and I don't book a lot of things. My wife
books.
Which
is odd you had this experience through Expedia.
My wife books all of our stuff when we're going out with groups. There's usually a friend that books the Airbnb or wherever we're staying and whatever. So this is a solo trip, which I never go on. And when I get to the hotel, I get to Bally's and I walk up to the desk and the lady's like, yeah, that'll be $100 fee. You know, the retainer fee for the room in case anything goes wrong. Maybe you ordered some movies, whatever. And then it's going to be another $80. And I was like, no, I already paid for this. She goes, no, it's another $80. It's $40 a night. I said, I paid for the hotel through Expedia. She goes, you didn't read the small print. I go back through everything. You know where the small print is? On my receipt.
After you paid for it.
You know how much room is on my receipt so this print doesn't have to be small? So again, I don't know if that's an Expedia thing. I don't know if that's a Bally's thing, but I ain't done yet. So I get the Bally's. They put me up on the 41st floor. As soon as I get off of the floor to walk around, there are stains all over the carpet everywhere. I am not, by the way, I'm not the type of person that complains about everything, anything. I think I've sent food back once in my life, and that's because it came out frozen. I don't send stuff back. I don't complain. I'm pretty easygoing. Even with the room, I really don't care about it, but it's compounded by everything else that happened. Walk into the room. Every morning, there's standing water in the bathroom. Have no idea why. It's like a really? Small puddle right there. Yep. Open up the curtain or the shower curtain. Look down. Somebody's pubic hair all around the freaking drain. Yeah, so I pick those out real quick. No, you try to flush those down. Then I go into the room, and I'm looking at all the furniture. Every piece of furniture in the room is busted. Broken. The wood is stripped off. There's more stains on the floor. And I'm going, how much did I pay for this room for this type of, like, this how is ridiculous. I mean, I ended up paying for two nights. You got to imagine, it's a Thursday and Friday, a little over $300 for two nights. Right on the boardwalk, you know. And again, I had the worst experience. Like, went to see my son play. He said all of five words to me because he's chasing around some girl.
Well.
I get that aspect of it, but I stayed in Atlantic City by myself. I walked that damn boardwalk because I was so bored till my hips wouldn't work anymore. I couldn't walk. I paid. God's honest truth. You know those guys on the boardwalk where they're like, hey, we'll give you a lift so you don't have to walk the whole thing? I didn't realize that they were pushing it. So I paid some guy because I went to see Thunderbolts Thursday night. And as I'm like, yeah, man, it starts in 20 minutes. I got to get down there. I'll give you a big tip if you make it fast. So we start pushing. We take off. I'm like, all right, it's good. Like 10 yards into it, the guy is gassed. And I'm looking at people walking by us. And I just had to turn around and said, here's 10 bucks. I'm just going to sprint the rest of the way, man. Okay. And then he's trying to tell me how slow it's been, trying to get more money out of me. And I'm like, that's a you problem, buddy. You can walk your ass back down there. So just an awful, awful trip.
Ugh, my shovel goes to the keyboard commandos. So last week, someone posted something on Twitter asking me to shout out his daughter. And I'm not giving out names because I'm not rehashing this. Asked me to shout out his daughter who has committed to a college on a wrestling scholarship, which I think is sensational. Lots of people under it gave comments about it, but one in general gave comment about the size of his daughter, very insulting.
Yeah.
I know this dude who posted, asked me to give him his daughter a shout out when Jeremy told me who this was. And
I know both of them.
You don't want to mess around with this dude.
No.
But I mean, this is you are the type of guy that if her dad found you and approached you, you'd cry victim.
Yeah.
You'd cry victim. See, this is the generation that thinks they can say what they want without repercussions. They remind you, I have freedom of speech. You're right. So when I react, that's me exercising my freedom also. You also have freedom to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
I'll suffer whatever consequences there is after that when you start talking about my kids.
No question.
You talk about me, that's fine. You bring my kids into it, you just took it to another level.
And Colin, you know what you did, man. It's just uncalled for.
You should get punched in the mouth, man. Yeah. Seriously. You should get punched in the mouth on sight. No words.
Okay?
No, it's not okay.
And
these are the same guys. These are the same guys that when they saw you, they wouldn't say anything. Because they were raised on that social media. Dude, there was a time where your mouth got you in trouble. There was a time when your mouth got you punched out. And that's a problem.
Well, what is it?
There's no consequences to BS. That's the problem we live in right now. That's the society we live in now.
Don't let your mouth,
write a check that your ass can't cash.
And that's it. It's the way it should be, man. Like, it's just funny. I was talking about this with somebody else. Hockey polices their sport by fighting. Baseball does it by pitchers throwing at guys when things are going on.
Mess around and find out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying people should be out there fighting left and right and all that nonsense going on.
I'm not, but I'm also
but
not saying.
People do stuff to get hit in the mouth.
Exactly. What did it come out of? Your mouth? Okay, that's what's going to suffer the consequences. Remember the time when you stole something, they cut a finger or a hand off?
Yeah.
You say the wrong thing, you get punched in the mouth. And if you can punch me back, then we're going to go at it.
Yep.
That's it. You got something to do, Jeremy?
Yeah, I got to tell people. We got a lot of cool stuff that's going on. If you visited the fan booth at Towson Town Festival over the weekend, you saw a secret word posted on our tent. We're going to take the 25th caller right now at 410-583-1057, and you'll win a $120 gift card to the Corner Stable, home of Baltimore's best ribs. Caller 25 with the correct secret word wins the Corner Stable gift card. Again, 410-583-1057.
When I ate ribs,
yeah.
It ain't come better than the Corner
I
Stable.
I licked other people's fingers at that place. That's why I'm not welcome back.
That place is unbelievable. You just got a good gift, whoever wins that. Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, Birds lose 2 out of 3 to the Royals. Where are we going from here? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
2-2. Is strike three called. And that ends the ball game as Kansas City storms back to win the final two of this series. An 11-6 final as the Royals hit a franchise record 7 home runs.
All right, we know what Kyle Gibson did in his first start against the New York Yankees. It's so bad that after yesterday, his ERA is 14 and it came down. That's how bad it is, Ed. Yeah, yesterday, he pitched 4 innings, giving up 3 runs on 5 hits, 3 strikeouts, and a walk, 1 home run. Jeremy, in your opinion, well, how do you feel about his start yesterday?
Some moments there where watching some of the other guys come in and give up home runs told you it was he pitched on 2 really good hitting days. This isn't me making excuses for him, because I did see Charlie Morton tap him on the shoulder and says, "How do I pitch as good as you are?" Sorry. Because look, right now things are not good for Morton. They don't look good for Gibson.
I've
seen more from Gibson already in 2 games where he's looked terrible, that I'd rather see more of him than any of Charlie Morton. But no, it doesn't look great. And then if you check the minor leagues, McDermott had a good start. Rogers, not so much. Zach Eflin looked great yesterday.
Looked really good.
So, I mean, there's some good signs. It's still going to take a while. But again, that's why I said you have to weather this storm of just poor play till you get your pitching back. And you need to hope this hitting figures it out, man.
What did you say Chase was? How did he look?
He looked good. Okay. Let me pull up his numbers. I thought it was Chase that looked good.
I don't know either way.
Let me find it out. Because
Ed, while he's looking for that, your thoughts on Kyle Gibson's performance yesterday?
What do you say? I mean, you pitched four innings, right?
Yeah. 3 runs.
3 runs, 5 hits. I mean, it was a bad outing. And you bring in Charlie Morton later on, 3 hits in an inning. It's like, what are we doing here? And Gibson walked the guy, too.
Chase was 4 scoreless, by the way.
Okay. What level?
What's that, double A?
Norfolk. No, triple A. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
I like that. I mean, it's you can get he and Eflin back within the next couple of weeks, and I'm with you, Jeremy.
Are you expecting anything from Grayson? Because they're saying they think he's going to return, but again, like, I don't even have him in my plans in the future right now. And if we get him, it's like, oh, there's the meat lovers in the trunk. We're good. We don't need you to turn the fryers on.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm looking, put it this way, guys. I'm looking more forward to Kyle Bradish coming back than I am Grayson Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Because Kyle Bradish already had that corrective surgery. You know what I mean?
And he might be back before.
That's my point. That's my point. Kyle Bradish, it already broke. They fixed it. He's back. You know, that's how I look at for that.
And you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping Kobe Mayo does enough to where they say, we can't send you back down. Make it a more difficult decision because you need better right-handed bats in this lineup.
Yeah. Well, he's got to go better than 0-for-3.
Yeah, but he got rung up, or he had a really crappy call against him on that third strike, which it wasn't. It was at least an entire baseball off the plate. The thing I'm wondering is, and that concerns me, is his defense at third. Because yesterday they played a game with Kobe at third, or Mayo at third, and Ryan O'Hearn in right field. And if this was Buck Showalter's team, Buck Martinez is like, man, we can't do that. Buck Showalter would have been like, no, defense first. But we'll see.
And we're going to have, of course, our buddy Glenn Clark on later on to talk about how the team has a guy named Maverick, amongst others. Let's go to Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. I'm hearing a lot of people wanting to, you know, fire Hyde, but, I mean, after yesterday, I'm kind of like, I don't know. That was kind of suspect with the whole Morton, you know, pulling him out of the bullpen and then giving up 2 runs. Like, we were still in it. And if he would have went with Soto or anybody else besides Morton.
Here's one, though. Like, I don't put a lot, like, people are bitching about Elias and how terrible this has been, that's been. I think if they didn't have all the injuries they had, maybe people still wouldn't be happy, but they wouldn't be playing like this. The problem I have with the Morton thing is I don't know that that's a Brandon Hyde call, because if you're going to put that guy on the roster and you're telling him to put him out in the bullpen, he's going to have to use him. You can't just ignore Morton until we have a game that is a blowout and then put him in it. He's going to get used, and that's why I'm saying he has no business being out there. Pay the man to go away.
See, can I go with what Greg, with Eli saying, though? You said Soto, Eli?
Yeah, I mean, you could have pitched Soto or there was another pitcher.
Dominguez, maybe? Let me go with you why I'm with you on Soto. You know the last time Soto's pitched?
I know he give up hits. Like,
No.
Either he or he not.
I'm with you because Soto hadn't pitched since April 30th. So why didn't you pitch him yesterday? I'm with you. And the last time he pitched, he came out. He only had one out. He got out of the inning against the Yankees, and that was it. The Orioles won 5-4. But no. I'm with you. It's not like you can – first thing, he said Soto, I'm like, well, when is the last time Soto pitched? Because I don't remember him pitching in a while. And I looked it up, and I'm right here on Baseball Reference. He pitched on the 24th, the 28th, and the 30th. Yesterday was May 4th. Mm. May 4th. So I don't, I'm with you. I don't know whether it's all a Brandon Hyde call or not. I don't know. I don't. But all I do know is whoever call it is, explain to me why in a competitive game we go to Charlie Morton and not Gregory Soto. Explain that to me. I don't care about the lefty righties. Everybody's hitting Morton. Lefty righties don't count with Morton. Everybody's hitting. As Buck would say, they're tripping over the bat racks.
Well, to be fair, I couldn't get a hit off Charlie Morton, but I'd take a few walks.
Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, well, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
No, well, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. As far as Morton goes, do you think, man, once I guess somebody like Chase McDermott gets ready, they'd rather have Chase McDermott in the bullpen and they will cut Morton? You know, would that be a better option for Chase McDermott to come out of the bullpen?
I don't know about you, Ed, but I'm almost afraid that they'll keep Morton in DFA or send somebody else down.
Well, when are we getting Kittredge back?
He should be this month. It's May, yeah.
He's working his way back to you, babe.
Yeah, when he first got, as I told you, someone from the club, I don't think it was a poll to tell me, when I was at spring training, said he had just finished a procedure, maybe 2 months. And it's looking like that was spot on, because the way he's working back now, looks like it's going to be an overall 2 month thing.
There's two guys. I want to see him back. I want to see Eflin back, obviously, and Bradish. Grayson, I don't know what's going
to
happen there.
Bradish long term. This month, I'm hoping to get Chase McDermott, even though our buddy called him McDermott. Chase McDermott.
Eflin began his rehab, right?
I'm looking to get Eflin back, and I'm looking to get Kittredge back. Although, if you get those three back, that's a jolt in the arm for the staff, man. That's two starters and a reliever.
Yeah, but who do you send down if you get Kittredge back? I mean, send Morton's ass away. Jesus.
Jeremy, if you get two starters back, I say goodbye to Kyle too.
You might, but you're still gonna need some depth, man. It's like, I think Kyle's staying in the rotation. I do.
You getting two starters back? If you get Chase
hasn't even started here yet. He may be pitching in AAA for all we know. He didn't even get a chance to really throw in AAA, and we didn't have him penciled into the rotation. The only thing that we're seeing is that the rotation's been so bad. It's like,
but was Chase in there? Wasn't he a candidate before he got hurt in the preseason?
Yes, he would have been the next guy up.
Right.
It looked like Cade Povich first, and then him.
Then him.
But like, Povich can get sent back down if he's not pitching well. So. I mean, look, I love Chase. I want to see Chase McDermott, but I don't think he's penciled into the rotation just yet.
Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, we're going to talk some baseball with Ryan Ripken up next on The Fan. 7:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. Courtesy of the Window Nation's guest hotline, he is Ryan Ripken. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning. Good morning, man. I said earlier, and I didn't make this up. I didn't invent this. I heard this years ago, and it comes to be true. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose. The Orioles gave up 4 runs on Saturday night, and I said if they could have scored 5, they could have won that game. 5's not allowed to ask for. They scored 6 yesterday, and they gave up 11. It just seems like When the pitching's there, the hitting's not. When the hitting's there, the pitching's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complimentary baseball you got to play. The execution of, you know, you want to try to pitch, play defense, and have timely hitting. And you do two of three, you're going to give yourself a chance most nights. And if you don't, you know, we're going to see kind of what happened. And you're right, you know, that the problem so far this season has been, you know, playing from behind early on in the game. And then this Saturday or Friday and Saturday, you get two really good starts. You know, Dean Kramer, maybe Dean just needed to get drilled by a line drive. I joked with him about that because it happened last year and he got rolling. And then Sagano, once again, gave you a chance to win. You know, and that's a frustrating part because for the Birds, you know, they had a legit chance, you know, that they could have won this series against Kansas City, but you're not able to. Scratch and claw runs in game two, you battle back and find a way in game three, and then the bullpen, which for the most part had been very good. You know, Brian Baker had been very good. He has a rough outing, Cano, and you know, then Morton comes in and the struggles continue, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, man, what could have been, but now you gotta.
Did we lose him?
Ryan?
Chip in the O's favor.
There we go. Ryan, we were having a discussion earlier. Does innings eater, is the definition of innings eater a formerly good pitcher who's declining now, and that's why we call him an innings eater? Because this ain't working out right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear innings eater, you're right. It doesn't really make you feel great about, well, I want someone to eat innings, but I want them to go out there and dominate. You know, I want someone that I can rely on. Each and every night. And I should take that back. Dominate, that's a, you know, we know that's not always going to happen.
Keep you in games.
Zach Eflin, to me, is a great example of a guy that is going to give you a chance most times, get deep into the game, and he'll eat innings, but more times than not, he's going to give you a chance to win. And, yeah, you know, it's just been, I mean, there's no other way kind of to put it. It's been a really disappointing stretch.
Yeah,
you know, and for the Orioles especially, you know, they needed some of their veteran type guys to step up, especially in the pitching department, and that hasn't been the case here. And you know, as for like for Charlie Morton, I believe any game that he's pitched in this year, the Orioles haven't won. Am I wrong with that, guys?
That's correct. That's right.
Right. So that's right. You know, yeah. And people, and I'd like to say, I wish I could say, hey, people don't think about that. When I played, you didn't want to say it out loud to anybody, but you knew.
Yeah.
And as a team, when that happens, that's a mental struggle that you're dealing with, going, man, still haven't won a game when this guy gets on the mound, and I hate that. But now it's a mental game for a lot more people than just the pitcher.
Yeah, Kobe might be the only Mayo that I actually like, and I'm starting to think I'm the president of his fan club, which means he'll probably get traded then. But Ryan, what are your thoughts on? I'm hoping he does enough to where they can't send him back down. Like it's like, hey, we got to keep him up here. I don't know at whose expense, but what are your thoughts on Kobe getting back to the show and if he has staying power?
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. You know, I talked to him, man, about 3 weeks ago. I'd like to say now. And, you know, he has a good mindset. I know everyone looked at spring training and those comments after, which, again, heat of the moment. And I think he just said one of the quiet parts out loud because here's the situation. He gets off to a slow start in the bigs or he doesn't play well. People are going to judge what he does. So I think, it's, you know, I just think Kobe, and I hope the reason why I hope he gets a little bit more of a leash is – he has talent, but he's had trouble settling in. And I truly do believe he's a guy that can hit in the big leagues, that can figure things out. But I can tell as soon as you come in to try to pinch hit, you know, that puts a little bit more pressure on you. Then you're trying to find your way more and more. And the more that you struggle, the more that people are going to talk about you. So I just hope in one case here upcoming, one thing kind of clicks and he can kind of take a step to relax because another guy you mentioned about being traded, Stowers over there in Miami, he got comfortable, he relaxed, And one of his biggest struggles that he had in Baltimore was trying to figure out how to fit in and not feel like he has to go out there and I have to do well instead of letting the natural talents start to shine through. So, I hope so for Kobe. But the reality is, too, you just said about, you know, could he stay up here? You know, Ramon Arias, Jordan Westbrook, those guys are going to be on the roster when they're healthy. Why? Because they've proven very valuable when they are feeling good.
Ryan Ripken joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ryan, about a week and a half ago, you had MLB Network's Mark DeRosa on your show. And at the time, I thought it was ridiculous, but I want to get your take on it because I've heard others say it. He said after 2.5 good seasons, the back end of 22, 23, and 24, that the Orioles window is closed now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. I think that to say that it's disappointing of where you are and what you thought you could have done the last couple of years, you know, that's fine to say. And could you have had opportunities? Like, in my mind, there's two players that they really wanted them. They really wanted pitching. There's two guys. And I thought about the second one now. But it's true, is Garrett Crochet and Jesus Luzardo. Those were the two. If they wanted them, they could have gotten them. I think with Luzardo and the Marlins, I think they got a little bit soured. I think it's too much to say a window is closed, but I think it's just a reminder of a lot of people thought very highly of the Baltimore Orioles because of all this young talent and what they have. But one thing that I will say, it's not about a window closing by any means at all, because the Orioles, unlike other teams, they have so much young talent that's here that if they play well, you saw the offense when Jackson Holliday gets going and you get a healthy Jordan Westburg and Adley starts swinging it, This is a really, really good young nucleus. The problem is, though, and here's the elephant in the room, right? We're not even having this conversation, Rob, if the Orioles win a playoff series.
You're right.
That's where it all stems from, No matter what. All the struggles that happened last year, down the stretch, whatever it is, it matters what you do in the playoffs. And the Orioles just have this giant weight because they haven't gone to the postseason yet with this young group and started to make some noise. That's where that all stems from, truly, in my opinion.
Ryan, you are the man. Tell us all about the Ryan Ripken Show.
Ryan Ripken Show, we do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You mentioned Mark DeRosa. We got a lot of different guests like that. Just sat down with John Smoltz. Released that yesterday. So you guys check that out. And then I'm ripping it with Ryan every Friday on 105.7 The Fan from 12 to 2.
Love it.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Talk to you next time.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great Monday.
You too. Mike Bordick, former Oriole, joins us at 8:45 for more Orioles talk. But on the other side, Mike Elias spoke on Friday. He's going to be on this show tomorrow. And he took some responsibility for how the season has started. Will it be enough to quiet those who are upset? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.